Tell me something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets. But how can I contain the truth I hold inside? With all the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways. There's nothing you can say that will take me away from this life. There's nothing you can do to shut me up when I'm speaking the truth. You may not like all I have to say, but you can't prove that everything is filled with empty words. I know my life and inside how I've changed. A testimony to the truth I speak. So I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways. There's nothing you can say that will take me away from this life. There's nothing you can do to shut me up, to shut me out when I'm speaking the truth.
All right, well, welcome back to True Stream Oasis. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it, no matter how much darkness there is. The Lord will be our light. Though we sit in darkness, the Lord will be our light. Today, we're going to do a podcast on the Mark of the Beast, 666, or as the Greek text has in the original manuscript, Chi Z Stigma. That's C-H-I-X-I and the word stigma, S-T-I-G-M-A. We're going to do a study on that today because in May 2008, we have the Real ID Act actually taking effect. And so things are getting serious. They're advertising all over television, you know, everybody's identity is being stolen and, you know, that we need protection against that. Even though the truth of the matter is that we build an electronic system that has loopholes in it and all kinds of problems that are created from the electronic system itself. And so really this is a solution to a problem that they've created. So it goes back to the whole problem reaction solution scenario. They create a problem and then they offer the solution because the people react and say, you know, we don't like our identities being stolen and our credit reports being stolen and people stealing our social security numbers and taking our information. So the government's like, you know, we'll provide a solution. We'll put a identifiable microchip in your body that can't be stolen. So this is where we're at. And it's not a good thing, guys. It's really not a good thing. You know, this is a system that's being put in place by man, and as I always say, we cannot trust man. Man is sinful, we're in a fallen nature, and we can't trust them with this. I'm sorry, that's the God's honest truth, and I'll tell anybody to their face, you know. They're just sitting there like, you know, trust us, we'll take care of you, you know, this is a good system. And, you know, there might be some good things about it. I mean, honest to God, you know, we're not going to be biased. We'll just look at it and say, you know, okay, the fact like is that if you have a child that gets abducted or is missing, you know, you might be able to find them. People won't be able to steal money off of you. And all these things seem like good things, and of course those are the things that they're using to sell the program to us. They're not telling us all the sinister things behind the scenes that could be put into place and all the controls, because the simple fact is they're expecting you to look at them and say, we trust you. Can they be trusted? Have they proven in the past that they can be trusted? Have they proven in the past when they instituted a program that it's only used in exactly the way that it's put forth in the beginning? Think about the Social Security numbers and how they were used. In the beginning on the Social Security numbers, it on the Social Security card, it said, you know, this is only for Social Security purposes only. And now look, it's being used as like an identification number for employment, tax purposes, and all this good stuff. So we're going to jump right in. We're going to look at the words that were written in the original manuscript, the original Greek words. We're going to do a little study on that, and then I'm going to play some clips for you guys just to give you some information. But what I really want to get across is that we need to wake up. Seriously. We need to wake up and become conscious of the fact that this stuff is going on now. This isn't something that's going on that sounds like what the Bible was talking about, as if it's really not it. This is it. I firmly believe that this is it, and this is happening, and we're going to have to take stock of where our lives are, and what we're going to do, and where our faith is, and how we're going to stand for the Lord. Because this stuff is happening, it's coming, it's advancing slowly, and what they do is they put us to sleep, because the media has got news stories that come out that just condition people to the proper perception of how they want you to think about it, so that when it comes out, it doesn't shock you in a certain way. You know, if they just came out and said, you know, we all love Satan, and Satan really likes this microchip idea, so we're going to institute it, and we're going to put it in you, and everybody has to worship Satan. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to make it look secular. It's a cult. It's hidden. It's done with one mindset put forth in front of the people, in front of the television lights. And then in the background, there's a whole other purpose to it. And it's hidden, and it's put forth as it's just secular. It's not going to hurt you. It's just a little microchip. It's only the size of a grain of rice. It's not going to hurt you. Besides, what do you have to hide? What are you hiding that you won't let the government peer into your lives? What do you have to hide? How come you don't want to walk in the light? You know? This is probably what's going to be said if anybody doesn't want to take it. You know, it's just a secular program to help people. It's crazy. But we're going to... I made a couple posts. I have some blogs in different areas. And I had written about it on my MySpace site a while back. So I'm just basically going to read this post and go through it. And it gives us a little bit of insight on the Greek words and what it means. So let's just jump right in here. And I had written this back, I think this was June 6, 2006, when the whole 666 hype was swirling around in the world. And I wanted to shed some light on the matter. So we're talking about Revelation 13:18. That's the verse. That's the one where we get the 666. It says, here is wisdom. Let's think about that for a second. I don't know exactly what here is wisdom means, but I'm assuming that it's going to take some wisdom to understand what's about ready to be said, and that you need wisdom to understand it. It says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay, all of us have probably heard that verse, at least most of us, at one time or another in our lives. It says that he causeth all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in his right hand or in his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell. unless he had the mark of the beast. And that actual phrase has been translated from the original Greek manuscripts. 600 3 score and 6 actually reads like this. It's I think I mispronounced it. It's ki z stigma. Okay? That's C H I ki. And then another word z, which is actually X I, and then the word stigma. Ki z stigma. Ki, C-H-I, is actually a letter of the Greek alphabet. It looks just like our letter X. It is the 22nd letter of the Greek alphabet. And which I find funny, because I've often, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but if you look around, you see the letter X everywhere. It's like a big deal now. You got Microsoft Xbox. You know, computers use DirectX in their computer language. You have the X-Men, you know, in comics. It's everywhere. I know there's got to be tons more examples. You just see the X-Files on television. It's just everywhere. It's like everything is X-Stream, you know. It's just really weird how it's showing up everywhere. And I remember I had a conversation one time. I had been going into a BP gas station, and I was getting gas there because when I lived down in Georgia, it was on my way home from work. And I used to go in there, and there was this guy that worked on Saturday nights, and I would witness to him and talk to him about the Lord. And for about 2 or 3 weeks, you know, we were talking. And I remember when I came in the third week, he revealed to me that he was a member of the Brotherhood, some type of Brotherhood of Darkness or something, and he was involved, or his family was, and he was a Wiccan, and that he just found it real interesting that I knew all these things. And so we had this conversation, and we were talking about X, and he just thought it was funny because he said to me, you don't know what X marks the spot means? And to this day, I really haven't figured that out. But he used to just think it was funny mentioning it to me because it was the one thing I didn't understand. He said, you still haven't figured out what X marks the spot means? So from that time on, and even before, I thought the letter X was kind of funny. That there, you know, not that there's anything inherently in the letter X, but we have to understand that the occult has this mindset. They think in symbols. Symbols are their language. You know, God confused the languages at Babel. And so what they've done is they've set up a new language that's in symbols. So if God ever confuses the languages again, they'll be able to speak throughout all time through the hieroglyphics or symbols of their language. So they love to use symbols. And they make big deals out of things. They're like really superstitious about things. So we're using this, you know, we're looking at it from their point of view, you know, that they think there's something in the letter X. But so with this phrase, ki z stigma, C-H-I, is the 22nd letter of the Greek alphabet, and it looks just like our letter X. Now we'll go on to z, which is X-I, or actually, I guess in Roman numerals, that's 11. I don't know if that ties into anything. But Z is the 14th letter of the Greek alphabet. And it looks just like a mattress spring or a swirly coiled snake. Okay, so we have the 22nd letter of the Greek alphabet with Ki, or C-H-I. We have X-I, Z, which is the is the 14th letter of the Greek alphabet. Looks just like a mattress spring or swirly cold snake. And stigma is the word that's on the end of it. Let's see. It says it is an obsolete letter, 4742, as a cross of the Greek alphabet. Intermediate between the 5th and 6th. I don't know what all that means. Used as numbers. This symbol looks almost exactly like our number 5. Okay? And let me go over here because I have a note on this. One thing I can't figure out is why gematria is used. Gematria is like taking, how do I explain this? Gematria is like taking taking words and assigning like numbers to the letters and coming up with numbers out of letters or something like that. So, and I don't understand where we got the 666 from. This is something that I'm still studying, and I'm talking to people about it, trying to figure out. I'm sure they have a reasoning for it, but I don't know why they use gematria, assigning, you know, numbers to these words and coming up with numbers. I don't see anywhere in the text where God implies that we should do that. So let's just look at what John actually penned on the script. I did a study, and chi, or key, C-H-I, goes back to an original root word that means unmarried or a virgin. Unmarried or a virgin. X-I, Z, that's how you say it, it's not X-I-Z, Z is the pronunciation, means good works or doing good. And stigma, I have a definition here, it says archaic, a scar left by a hot iron, a brand, a mark of shame or discredit, stain, as in bore the stigma of cowardice, or an identifying mark or characteristic. Okay, so with all this in view, you have two Greek letters of the alphabet, and then you have the word stigma. Now, the whole stigma thing reminds me of putting a bad taste in someone's mouth, so to speak, or metaphorically. Here's a thought. What if marking the masses of people's minds with the mark of the beast was as simple as presenting a flood of information that paints Christ in a bad light? Okay? In other words, just putting a flood of information out there that causes people to have a bad taste towards the Lord when they think about Him. And these are just my thoughts. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord or anything like that. These are just some thoughts I'm putting out there. For example, the Da Vinci Code. You know, and all the information that came out with that, painting Christ in a bad light, saying Christ was married to Mary Magdalene, and that painting that that Da Vinci had secret meanings in it. And what does that matter anyway? That's something I was thinking about with Da Vinci, that painting. Like, Da Vinci was an artist. He wasn't an apostle. There was no inspiration. You know, the Lord didn't say, hey, Da Vinci's one of my apostles. You know, so what if he made up some funky stuff in a painting? But here's another example, blaming all war on religion in general, saying the Crusades were all about a bloodthirsty God, or making fun of Christ on the cross, you know, with Madonna here. I think about a year ago she did a concert where she portrayed herself as Christ on a cross, and which is sick, you know, or making perverted jokes and references to Christ on television and movies. Always portraying Christians in movies and television as dogmatic, crazy, and out of touch with reality. All this stuff is stigmatizing people against the Lord, creating a stigma around Christianity. And this basically is just simply the old Pavlov principle. You know? Do you remember what Pavlov did? He was doing studies with dogs, and he got the dog's hunger and feeding associated with a bell. Every time he would feed the dogs, he would ring a bell. And pretty soon, the dog's neural connections got associated the, you know, feeding on their food with that bell. So he got to the point where when he would ring the bell, the dog's mouth would start salivating in anticipation of eating because they had made those neural connections. And that's what I think they're doing, is they're making all these neural connections and stigmatism against Christ by making all these associations in people's minds. When the people think of Christ, they'll have a better taste in their mouth for Him. And this reminds me of the phrase in the book of Revelation. Christ always talked about the gospel, good news of salvation, as being living water, pure living water. Now keep this in mind, because Revelation 8:11 says, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The water is like the gospel good news of salvation. And it says that the star called wormwood, which means bitterness, fell on the waters, and the waters were made bitter, and many men died because the waters were made bitter. Okay? One thing I wanted to go back with Pavlov, an interesting thing, is we're told about the story of Pavlov, you know, which it wasn't a story, it was actually a real thing that happened. I like to point that out, because people call stories, things that happen in the Bible, stories, and they're actually historical events. But one of the things that people don't explain is what happened. There was an interesting thing that happened to Pavlov when he was doing those studies afterwards. The dogs had all been trained to have the association with the bell. And but then, like, storms started moving through. And this is just a quick version of what happened. The storms moved through, and they were really bad storms, and the rain came down so hard that he was getting flooded out, and he had to leave. He had to leave in a hurry, and he couldn't even take all the dogs with him. So he got out of there. He came back a few days later after everything had settled down, and the animals hadn't eaten in a while, and they were traumatized by the storm and everything. So he came back in, and he noticed an interesting thing, that the bell wasn't working anymore. When he rang the bell, it didn't cause them to salivate anymore. The trauma of the storms had broken that quote-unquote spell, you know, or the neural connections, you know, between the bell and eating. And it makes me think that sometimes that's what God has to do when we make these associations in our mind in order to break habits or these old neural connections and associations that we have. He has to bring trauma into our lives sometimes to break the spell of those habits over our lives. So I just wanted to mention that. I thought that was an interesting thought. But the whole phrase, key Z stigma, has the connotation of enumerating with pebbles. I got this out of the Greek's Strong's Concordance. It has the connotation of enumerating with pebbles, like rocks that smooth out over a period of time. And I thought about this, and I was thinking, could this allude to our minds being programmed to think a particular way? You know? Like, these thoughts and associations through television programming, music, and the media, and everything that we're around. All these things, you know, water runs over rocks, and over a period of time it smooths the rocks out, you know? And maybe all of these things from the media and everything around us are affecting our minds because they just come so often and so much that it just kind of smooths it out, you know, in our minds. Makes a difference that we don't really realize. To be totally honest, you know, like I was saying, I really don't see how they came up with 666 out of this. And I'm really not sure about the use of gematria, assigning number values to letters. And I'm not sure if that was intended, so. But we'll just put that off. There's, you know, it's I guess there's somebody has a reason for that. You know, we might not even be aware of how all the things that we take into our mind actually slowly over time affect the way we think. You know, that could be how we're marked in the forehead, because in our forehead is our mind. And the way we think determines what we do, okay? The mark in the right hand in the Bible symbolizes your actions or your work. It has to do with your purpose and what you work towards. Okay, the forehead has to do with your mind and the way you think. Being marked with the number of the beast in your forehead means that you think in a way that identifies you with how the beast thinks. You think about only earthly things, earthly pleasures. Your trust for survival and safety is in man. Your thoughts are not consistently on heavenly things and thoughts about the Lord. You don't actually and really trust only in the Lord God. Being marked in the right hand means that you do the things that identifies you with the beast. You do the things that identify with the beast. Your work is all for earthly things and earthly comfort. Your work doesn't reflect a faith that works for the things of God's kingdom. Now, all of this, I was thinking about this, all of this may or may not turn into a literal mark, for example, a tattoo or a microchip. Because think about it. How would they implement this worldwide? It won't work right now because you got third world countries and all this. So what if the 666 thing and the whole microchip slash barcode thing is just a diversion to make people think that they have not taken the mark yet? What if it's just a diversion? This is something that I've thought about. Now, I do think the microchip or a barcode or something that they're going to do with buying and selling is a part of the mark of the beast, but I don't think it is the mark of the beast. I think the mark of the beast is spiritual. It's in your mind. It's a way of thinking that you identify with the beast, that you think like the beast. I think that is the mark of the beast, but I think the microchip, whoever takes the microchip, will be an outward sign on the outside that will show who actually has taken the mark of the beast spiritually. I think it's just going to be an outward manifestation. Because those who have taken the mark of the beast spiritually will obviously get the microchip, and that'll be the outward thing. But it's not like the microchip is going to be the end-all and be-all saying you've taken the mark of the beast. It's really in your mind, how you think and how you act. But what if the whole game of deception was to give people an obvious and open sign as the mark of the beast? Such as publicizing widely that the microchips are coming out, which they're doing. What if that isn't the mark? Just an excuse for people to say, well, at least I haven't taken the mark of the beast yet. You know, we got to be careful. Okay? And I wrote down here in my note, I believe if the earthly system of authority, the government, the beast, requires a literal mark, those that have already taken the mark spiritually will also take the tattoo barcode chip. I guess that's what I was just saying. I just repeated myself. Cool. Okay. God is concerned about the place inside you that causes all that happens outside of you to take place. Your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your spirit. Think about this and think about it and ponder it hard. Remember this. Wherever your treasure, what you value most, wherever your treasure is, there is where your heart, your desires, will be also. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you have to be deadly honest with yourself. Because once all this goes down, there's no retake on this final exam. So where is your heart? I'm asking myself this too. You know, because I haven't been at that point where they're going to issue this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where my courage is or where my faith is. But we're all going to find out. Where's our heart? What do we truly desire? What makes us feel safe? Where do we lean? Where do we place our trust? Who do we lean on? Ultimately, when all else fails, what makes us feel secure? Is it man's medicine? Is it the man's armies that go out and fight and protect us? Is it man's financial and retirement plans? Is that a promise of security? Be sure. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In everything you do, seek God's will and He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't trust how you understand things. Trust in the Lord and in His word, and He will direct your paths. That's the good news. It shall come to pass in the last days that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be rescued. That's the awesome promise. Okay? So we're looking at key Z stigma. Give you the definitions. Key is unmarried virgin. Z, good works, doing good. And stigma is like a scar left by a hot iron, a brand, a mark of shame. Okay, and I have another post here. Let me read this to you. It says, I can only ascertain from this that it means that you are stigmatized against being pure and doing good works. You see a stigma attached to being a do-gooder or a goody-goody. Your sin is spiritual adultery, and this produces guilt. And that guilt takes you into captivity to Satan. That's how Satan takes everybody in captivity, is their guilt. You know, because you're guilty, and it's just like, you know, God's your father, and you don't want to face your father because you've done something wrong. So that drives a wedge between you and God, and that's where Satan can get control. You know, in a way, the mark of the beast is kind of guilt. You know, it's guilt. In order to come to God, you must face your guilt. And most won't choose to truly, truly see the absolute naked truth about themselves. You know, we're slam guilty. And we got to humble ourselves and come to the cross. And the cross is, even the Bible says it, it's foolishness to most people. See, this guilt makes people harden themselves in their hearts. This way they don't have to feel the guilt. This hardening is what stops up their ears. It calluses their hearts. That is why God says we need to be circumcised in heart. The callousness of our hearts, that metaphoric dead skin, needs to be cut away from our hearts so we can be sensitive, so we can feel again. And I know that's hard, because if you feel and you're sensitive in your heart, you're going to feel all the good and the bad. But that's the price you got to pay to be sensitive. You know, if, for instance, if you take an antidepressant, they've proven that it deadens you in the frontal lobe of your mind. That's where your conscience is. It doesn't heal you of your wounds and your pains. It just deadens you in your mind so that you don't feel the pain of it. You know? And the problem is that, yeah, you don't feel the bad stuff, but you don't feel the good stuff either. So, you know, that's why God says we need to be circumcised in heart so that we can be sensitive and we can feel again. Once you humble yourself and surrender to your lostness, your lost condition, you're set free. Your eyes are open to the truth, and you begin to hate the world and its ways. What you once loved, you now find yourself hating. Because the world's ways are the very thing that led you into deception and down the primrose path to death. The only way you can buy and sell and live in this system is to make a lie your refuge and to live in denial of the truth. The majority of people in this system all acknowledge the same lies. So that's how it becomes truth. Even though it's still a lie, everybody's acknowledging and agreeing to the same lies, so it makes them feel as if it's okay, that it is the truth. But that's the wrong standard. When we measure ourselves by ourselves, we're foolish and unwise. Ultimately, you'll be forced to receive a microchip after pledging your allegiance to this system. The system is all based on a lie, and it's at odds with the truth. The two are totally incompatible. This, in and of itself, will separate the wheat from the tares. Let me give you some thoughts here on the number 6. 6 days shalt thou work. Okay? So 6 is associated with working. Man was created on the 6th day. 6 is also associated with man. Okay? 7 represents rest. God's rest. God worked 6 days, and on the 7th day he rested. 7 represents rest, God's rest. Hebrews says that we must make every effort to enter into that rest. 666 could possibly mean man's work, man's work, man's work. 666. And anytime something's repeated 3 times in Hebrew, it means whatever is in view to the ultimate power. You know, the ultimate meaning, like, you know, when Jesus said, truly I say unto you, he meant it. But when he said, truly, truly I say unto you, he's really trying to get your attention. And when you say things 3 times, man, that's the ultimate. Okay? Let's read here from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Okay, and this has to do with 666 and working for your salvation, understanding only earthly things, and your focus is only on the earth and on man and on man's things. It's the sixth level, the man, the number of man. It's man's earthly level, and never attaining to that level seven, which is God's level, the rest, the completion. And I always say you have to add that holy one to the six to make seven. And Christ was called the Holy One of Israel. Let's read Hebrews chapter 3, 16 through 19. It says, who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those that Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? Now this is important. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. And that's what Christ said. We have to have faith in Christ. Christ was constantly preaching to us, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? And he commended those that had great faith. It was about believing God. See, that's what we lost in the garden. See, Adam and Eve would obey God. He would speak and they would just obey it, and they had no questions about it. Some people would say, you know, oh, that made them robots. No, it didn't. It just meant they were obedient. That whole robot mentality comes from the devil. That comes from man's mentality of wanting to sit on your own throne and have your own decisions. That's where that mentality comes from. It doesn't come from knowing who your king is and obeying your king. You see, Christ was trying to get us back to faith. You know, Satan came in and said, you know, entered the doubt into their mind, like a virus into like a hard drive of a computer. It was like a virus to their minds. They learned how to doubt. Satan came in and said, did God say that? Is that what he meant? You shall not surely die. And they entered doubt. So once they started to learn how to doubt, anytime God said anything, they would doubt it. So really, the whole purpose of Christ was to get us back to believing God. It was about faith. And it says in Hebrews 3:19, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. They are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They keep working the formula. Work, work, work. They never understand. Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Salvation is in Christ, not outside looking in. Those who have eyes to see will see it. Okay? So, as an overview, just as a review, what John wrote in the original Greek manuscripts, the words that he wrote was C-H-I, that's pronounced key, and X-I, that's pronounced Z, and the word stigma, S-T-I-G-M-A. That is the phrase that is interpreted in the English Bible, in the King James, and in the NIV and all these, as 666, or 600, 3 score, and 6. My question is, why did they use gematria out of that? Is that really what God meant? So, I'm not sure about this, and I'm not telling you that it's not supposed to end up being 666, but what I am saying is that I want you to know what the original manuscript stated, and what those words are, and what they mean. Because that's what John wrote on the script, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so as long as we know what those words mean, we have at least a better understanding of what God was trying to communicate to us. As I said, there's probably some reason why, you know, man came up with 666, but, you know, I just question things. You know, all I know is I look at things, I've kind of thrown off the traditions of man. You know, when God really got a hold of me, one of the first things that was impressed upon my spirit from the Lord is that I've got to throw away the traditions of man. It's not that everything that man has come up with is wrong. It's just that I needed to resort things out. I needed to go back and look at everything I had learned and what I had been taught by man and actually just look at the scripture and say, what does it say? You know, and learn about that. So, now that we've looked at the actual phrase of Kesey stigma and we know a little bit more about it, and we've related to at least the fact that you know, if there was a reason that was translated into 666, we know what the number 6 is. We know that it relates to man because man was created on the sixth day. We know that 6 days shalt thou work. We related the working as working out, working at your salvation, okay? And that some people can't enter into rest, that number 7, because of their unbelief. And somehow that ties into 6 as well because they can't get to that level of faith. It's the unbelief. So what I'm going to do is I want to read some stories here that I found that are relating. And this is to wake you guys up. You know, hey, this is going on. They're talking about this. It's coming. You know, we want to push it off. We want to say, oh, dude, that's like, you know, it'll be here someday, but I'm not going to worry about it now. No, it's coming. It's like a freight train that's coming towards us, and there's no brakes. Okay, it's coming, and you might be running away from it, but that freight train's coming. Okay, so here's a story from Yahoo News. This was Monday, January 7th. It says the ACLU rips plan to track Rhode Island students. Providence, Rhode Island, a tech company with ties to a school district, plans to test a tracking system by putting computer chips on grade schoolers' backpacks. An experiment the ACLU ripped Monday as invasive and unnecessary. The pilot program, set to start next week in the Middletown School District, would have about 80 children put tags containing radio frequency identification chips, which is the RFID, that's what it stands for, radio frequency identification, or RFID chips, on their school bags. It would also equip 2 buses with global positioning systems or GPS devices. The school and parents will be able to track students on the bus, and the district hopes the program will improve busing efficiency. Superintendent Rosemarie Kreger said, "The devices are intended to record only when students enter and exit the bus, and the GPS would show where the bus was on its route." Again, all of this sounds like a good thing. This is part of the conditioning. Parents could opt out of the program, Kreger said. The pilot program, made by Map Information Technology Corp., is to run for several months at the Aqueduct School, she said. The district, which serves about 2,500 students, is the company's only client, said Deborah Rapp, the company's director of marketing and communications. Stephen Brown, executive director of the Rhode Island chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, sent a letter to Kreger and members of the school committee calling the plan, quote, a solution in search of a problem, unquote, and saying the school district should already have procedures in place to track where its students are. On Monday, he said the program raises enormous privacy and safety concerns. There's absolutely no need to be tagging children, he said. We're not questioning the school district's ability to use GPS to monitor school buses, but it's a quantitative leap to monitor the children themselves. Rapp described the system as limited in scope. The program is solely designed to provide accountability when the children are in transit, from the moment they enter the bus to the moment they exit, she said. It is limited to when they are on the bus. We are in no way take it beyond that. Brown also raised concerns that unauthorized people, perhaps using RFID readers that are easily bought online, could exploit information contained on the tags. Ed Collins, the district's facilities manager, said that that would not be possible. Collins and Rapp said the RFID tag would only contain an ID number, not a name, address, or other personal information. Only the school administration would be able to match the ID number with the child, Rapp said. But see, this is all electronic, okay? And the simple fact is that they could hack into the system at school and get that. But you also see them relating the child with an ID number, that they're not even concerned about the name, address, or anything, that everything's going to be linked now to the ID number. You see that assigning of a number to a person. So you basically get the gist of this. I'm not going to read the whole complete article. It says down at the bottom, tracking students' movements will be no different from an existing system that allows parents to see what their child had for lunch or check their attendance record, Krager said. You see how they're just playing this off like it's no big deal. You're already doing this in a different way. It says if a bus were delayed, they could look for their own student ID and they could see where the bus was, she said. So we're looking at this and we're seeing people talking about it. They're probably going to start out with kids because they want to get into the soft spot. They want to attack that soft spot in people that, you know, well, we gotta help the kids out, you know. We got to watch out for the kids. And, you know, it's probably going to be applied. You know, they've already been talking about putting it in people who have Alzheimer's and don't know where they're at. And so they're always bringing it to the forefront for these reasons that seem good. It ties into that. Remember this phrase, plausible deniability. Plausible deniability. It's, you know, they're denying that it's for, you know, a nefarious or bad purpose. You know, they're just giving you plausible reasons. You know, so they're denying that it's for this one thing, and they're just giving you plausible reasons. They have plausible deniability that they're bringing it forth for, you know, control reasons. They're just doing it to help you. Here's another one. This one's from computerworld.com, and this one was January 8th. You see all this is being brought to the forefront now because we're having to get this whole ID thing in people's minds into the public consciousness because the Real ID Act is coming in May 2008, and that's going to be another huge step, you know. And with the economy the way it is, and I'm probably going to do a future podcast here talking about the financial situation if the stinking market doesn't crash before then. But we're going to be talking about the dollar and how they're going to the Amero and how this is leading to all the money converging together and going into this one world government. I mean, people, it's here, and I'm sounding the alarm. You know, I'm like a watchman on the wall, sounding the alarm. And there's a lot of us out here that are doing this, and the only thing we can do is just tell people. You know, we're like antibodies. You know, we're going into the deception. We're getting that key code and then giving all the information out to the other people, so hopefully with the information about what's going on and what the truth is, that we can do something about this. You know, we can refuse it, we can resist it. Okay, this is computerworld.com, January 8th. Passport card with chatty RFID chip draws privacy ire. New chipped pass cards are unencrypted and readable up to 30 feet away. It says, a proposed new RFID-enabled passport card intended for use by Americans frequently traveling to Canada, Mexico, Bermuda, and the Caribbean poses serious security and privacy risks for users, the Center for Democracy and Technology warned this week. Among the concerns are the potential for the government and private entities to use the card for location tracking and the relative ease that the card can be manipulated for identity theft purposes, the CDT said. The Washington-based think tank's warning was prompted by a final ruling in the Federal Register from the U.S. Department of State on December 31st, calling for the use of so-called vicinity red radio frequency identification technology on proposed new passport cards. The department first announced plans to use RFID chips for new passport cards back in October of 2006. And has been going through a process of collecting and responding to comments on its plans. The identification cards would be needed by residents who don't have passports for verifying their identity at land, air, and sea border crossings. They are to be issued as part of the Departments of State and Homeland Security's Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, or WHTI. They just love to abbreviate, don't they? The credit card-sized passport cards will use vicinity red RFID technology, allowing customs and border protection officials to read them from at least 20 to 30 feet away. So you get a picture here? These things are, you know, went from being passive, which means that they would only be activated or awakened when a reader was on them, to now they're saying that they're always going to beam a signal. And anybody with a reader from 20 to 30 feet away can actually scan these things. So you're going to be like little mini beacons, okay? The goal is to substantially reduce wait times at the border by allowing officials to access and queue up an individual's information even before he reaches the official. And the point here is that if these people are trustworthy, this you know, wouldn't be so bad, okay? But it's not good. First of all, I don't like the idea of putting a chip into the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is our body. You know, that's like when they did the buying and selling in the temple courtyard, and Jesus got angry at that. He's like, my house is holy. It's supposed to be a house of prayer, and you're doing buying and selling in the temple. You know, and you're putting a silicon sand chip into your temple for the reason of buying and selling. This is crazy. This is not good. So they were saying the approach is substantially different from different from the proximity red technology being used in U.S. electronic passports, and it offers fewer protections, according to Ari Schwartz, deputy director at the CDT. Electronic passports contain all of the same identification data that appears on the first page of a passport, and includes a digital photograph and a digital signature. But the information on these chips is encrypted at all times and can only be accessed by physically swiping the card through a reader at the border crossing. In contrast, said Schwartz, the proposed RFID-enabled passport cards can be read from a distance and without the user's notice, consent, or control over when the information is collected. Additionally, information from the card is transmitted in the clear, that is, without encryption. The RFID technology itself is also more susceptible to electronic eavesdropping and hacking, which makes the cards less tamper-resistant compared to electronic passports, he said. So you have a situation where you are sending out identity information in the clear over a long distance using a less-than-secure technology, Schwartz said. And the article goes on and on. This stuff is here. Okay, here's another article, The Independent. This is from news.independent.co.uk. Prisoners to be chipped like dogs. This is January 18th. Okay, so 2008. Prisoners to be chipped like dogs. High-tech satellite tagging planned in order to create more space in jails. Civil rights groups and probation officers furious at degrading scheme. This is in the UK. This was actually published January 13th, not the 18th. Ministers are planning to implant machine-readable microchips under the skin of thousands of offenders as part of an expansion of the electronic tagging scheme that would create more space in British jails. So they're going to tag the prisoners. That sounds like something people would agree with. At least it's not them. It's coming, though. It says, amid concerns about the security of existing tagging systems and prison overcrowding, the Ministry of Justice is investigating the use of satellite and radio wave technology to monitor criminals. But instead of being contained in bracelets worn around the ankle, the tiny chips would be surgically inserted under the skin of offenders in the community to help enforce home curfews. The radio frequency identification tags, as long as 2 grains of rice, are able to carry scannable personal information about individuals, including their identities, address, and offending record. The tags, labeled spy chips by privacy campaigners, are already used around the world to keep track of dogs, cats, cattle, and airport luggage, but there is no record of the technology being used to monitor offenders in the community. The chips are also being considered as a method of helping to keep order within prisons. Do you see this picture here? They're saying, oh, it's just for the kids. And people are like, oh, yeah, if it'll help the kids out. Oh, it's just for prisoners. Oh, yeah, we want to keep the prisoners in there. And, you know, we don't care about prisoners. See, it's all coming out, and they're using things that we would be less likely to you know, speak up about. You know, things that seem like it would be okay. It says a senior Ministry of Justice official last night confirmed that the department hoped to go even further by extending the geographical range of the internal chips through a link up with satellite tracking similar to the system used to trace stolen vehicles. All the options are on the table, and this is one we would like to pursue, the source added. This is getting crazy. See, they were doing it all along. They started out with the dogs, chipping the dogs, you know, for being able to track where your pet is and stuff like that. But they've been using that to get all the kinks out of the system, to get it to work good. And now they're going to chip people. And this is where the money system's going. And if you don't believe in God, and you think this earth is all there is, and you trust the government with this, then you go right ahead. But those of us who have read the Bible know that what God talked about this. See, there was only one way to world government. And there was only one way to one world control of the entire world. It's like there's only one way for mathematics and physics to work. You know? God created certain laws into the universe, and there was only one way that you could control the whole world, and God wrote about it in Revelation. He wrote about it. He said it's through buying and selling because people need resources to live. They need food, and they're going to have to buy and sell. It's the way the world works. And to control the whole world, you control the buying and selling. God wrote about it. He had it written down for us, and these guys are doing this. And they know that the Bible talks about it, so they're trying to, you know, discredit the Bible. And they're saying, oh, no, it's this is a program that sounds like that, but this isn't the mark of the beast. Oh, no. We got to wake up, people. You know, if somebody's doing something, and the Bible tells you clearly what they're doing, and they're just sitting there saying, no, but it's not that. What do we trust, the Bible or the person saying, no, but it's not that. It's not like that. We know where this is going. These people want to control the world, and they're trying to brainwash us into thinking that it's an okay thing and that it's the way the world should go. And it's not that we have anything to hide. You know, we obey the law. God tells us to obey the authorities. It's not about being rebellious. It's about infringing on you know, what God said, and He's the king, not them. So they're going against God. You know, and we're just trying to be obedient, like, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bow down to the golden image. You know, when all the music started playing, they didn't bow down to the Babylonian idol like we do. You know, we worship the American idol. When the music starts playing, you know, we're like, oh, cool. I want to be a rock star just like that person. It's ridiculous. So let's... Here we go. Here's an interesting story here, too. This came out January 10th. This is interesting because of the all the events going on. Here's one. Bush sees Mideast peace treaty signed by January 2009. I just thought this was interesting. This is prophecy, too. It may not fit so much in with the Mark of the Beast, but it says, Ramallah, West Bank, January 10th. U.S. President George W. Bush said on Thursday he believes a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians will be signed before he leaves office in January 2009. He said, I believe it's possible. Not only possible, I believe it's going to happen, that there will be a signed peace treaty by the time I leave office. That's what I believe, Bush said at a press conference in West Bank city of Ramallah with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. I am confident that with the proper help, the state of Palestine will emerge, Bush added. I wonder if that means more terrorism. If that'll help out to get people scared enough to where they'll sign these peace treaties. All this stuff's coming. You got all these news stories coming out about 666. And on the other side, in the secular society, you got people saying, no, it's okay. This is normal. You know? So with that said, this podcast is getting a little long. But let me play you a couple clips here that have to do with it. One's... has to do with Alex Jones, and the other one has to do with it's Alex Jones commenting in here on some other information. It's from YouTube. I like to get some of these clips from YouTube because they just put really good information together. But give a listen to this this clip here. This one is about the microchip being the mark of the beast.
This is the microchip that could one day be implanted under the skin of every single American.
We have a Florida family who are really pioneers in a brave new world. They have volunteered to be the first ever to have microchip identification devices implanted into their body.
After 9/11, I was really concerned with the security of my family.
Top CFR Lieutenant Diane Sawyer for 8 minutes sat there in a sickening fashion with this poor, pathetic family as they discussed how they were all taking microchips because they believed in America and wanted to stop the terrorist. Ladies and gentlemen, this is something out of a science fiction horror movie. They're taking chips because they stand with the mother government. I'm living in Nazi Germany Twilight Zone. Now politicians are announcing that they want to get chipped.
Something has to change, though. They have to find a better way to identify the bad guys, or the rest of us are going to stay home and watch the world go by on televisions. But we need some system for permanently identifying safe people. Most of us are never going to blow anything up, and there's got to be something better than one of these photo IDs. A tattoo somewhere, maybe. The Saudis used an American device to scan the eyes of travelers. I wouldn't mind having something planted permanently in my arm that would identify me. If we don't do something, people are going to stop flying. If they stop flying, and I don't go to the Giants games, it means the bastards have won.
Yeah, we're not going to let you in, buddy. We saw what you just implied. We're with Al-Qaeda if we don't take the microchip.
Do you know how to keep your children safe? We'll tell you tonight.
In the next year, you'll be able to use your teen's cell phone to locate them 24/7. Younger children will get a small global positioning device hidden in their wristwatch or backpack. And just around the next high-tech corner, an electronic chip like this that can be implanted under your kid's skin.
Let's say children in your community start wearing wristwatches with GPS devices in them. Can't that only be a good thing for the community if it keeps children safe?
I would love that. I mean, what's a parent's fear?
I think it's a parent's obligation to ensure that their children have a chance to mature, to grow, to realize their potential. And if it means it's Big Brother, so be it.
You got to do what you got to do to keep your kids safe. Civil libertarians, eat your hearts out.
Civil libertarians, eat your hearts out.
Applied Digital Solutions could track human beings by satellite. All right, we got the Van Dams. We got this little girl, Elizabeth Smart. We got this girl in Pennsylvania. We got Samantha Runyon. We got this other little girl. One after another, after another, after another, after another. And parents around America saying, we can't even allow our kids to play in the front yard. Is there anything, technologically speaking, that they can do that could help in a situation like a kidnapping? Is there, for example, a microchip, a watch, a tracking device we can use for our kids?
We are working on a product that we have called internally a PLD. PLD stands for Personal Locating Device, which is an implantable GPS for which our company owns a patent and can be implanted surgically in the clavicle area of a child or someone that you are interested in tracking. It is the first implantable microchip for humans. It has multiple security, financial, and healthcare applications.
One thing I would just suggest, I'm just an outside, soon-to-be investor. I love this idea, by the way, Scott. I think this is great.
Thank you, Sean.
Put it in earrings. Put it in a cross. Make it smaller, maybe not implantable. And I think let parents choose. It's not the government. I like it. But
we're currently working on those applications.
Good.
And I hear music, so thank you for having me.
Give me a cut, Scott. No, all the best. Thank you.
I think
it's a great,
make some money.
Great product. I really do.
Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Fearful parents turn to privacy devices. Gets into the microchips. This report comes from the Air Force website. It was also on the Federation of American Scientists. They explain how they're going to get you to accept implantable microchips. It says the PR implications, how they're going to use the media to condition the public to take microchips. This was from January of 2000. Rental car companies may be tracking you via GPS. And now they've admitted that most new cars have satellite tracker boxes already in them. They've started taxing people in England with the satellite tracker boxes. And I've read the federal documents where they plan to start taxing and tracking us with satellite tracking boxes in our cars here as well. And in Los Angeles and north of L.A., they're going to make you carry a transponder tracker. That was in the New York Times. I mean, this is getting too out of control. College seeks security in thumbs. Colleges to buy and sell, to get their lunches, to get into their libraries, got a thumb scan. Again, training of generations. They're doing this with the junior high and middle school and elementary school kids. They're making them thumb scan to get their lunches, training them for the cashless society. No cash allowed, getting them into the control grid.
You're getting scanned. It's not just children getting brainwashed on cartoons. It's everywhere. This is the prison grid, turning the whole world into a cashless control system. I have read the federal documents, the total plan to force us into these compact cities. You absolutely must resist the thumb scans, the face scans, the retina scans, cameras that can recognize you and scan your face against a billion faces in a single second. Everything, no food, no water, no houses, no jobs, no nothing without it. They're actually announcing it. They're going to put it in place, and you are the terrorist. You've already heard them say it. Gun owners, Christians, conservatives, libertarians, liberals, anybody that doesn't go along with global New World Order tyranny will be watched, will be controlled, will be tracked. The New World Order gang has a reason they want to control you.
Yeah. Never made a delivery to your home before.
I'm taking some personal days off, Ed.
Usually I gotta track you down in some toxic vortex, a cosmic battlefield. Retinal scan okay?
Ouch! What's that for?
DNA sample. New policy. A lot of evil hologramic activity going on lately.
Okay, and as you can hear there towards the end, that was a little cartoon clip. You know, because they're actually... they're actually trying to get our kids used to this idea. It's crazy what's going on. I mean, they're building this all around us, and they're selling it to us like it's no big deal, because you heard Sean Hannity talking about, you know, the whole kid aspect of it, and that sounds good. You know, we don't want our kids to be hurt. We don't want our kids to be lost. You know, but it's like, it's just crazy the way they're talking about it. I mean, they are going to implement this, and it's all around us, and it's for control. That's what it's for. It's for control. Because the state is God, and the state, whatever the state says, goes. And they'll enforce it with the microchip. And on their side, you know, with their cloaked mentality, you know, they're just saying, you know, well, everything that we think is right, and it is good. So if we enforce it, you know, that's a good thing. But it goes against God's laws. And this is the thing that nobody wants to see. Is that's why it's a fundamental difference in ideology. You know, we want to obey God. Should we obey God or man? That's the question. Should we obey God or man? And if you're a Christian, you know, we obey God. Why? Because we believe that God created the world, and that this is His world, and that He's an awesomely good God, and He's our King. We will have no man rule over us except our God. But we will obey the authorities, you know, when it doesn't trample on what we have to do to obey our Lord. But, you know, ultimately God is our King, and He is our God. So let me play one more clip here. This one has to do with something I found I thought was interesting. Just another way they're playing this off. It's Bush on June 6, 2006, 666, because the occult plays funny things with numbers, you know, figures on this day they're talking about this, and he's going on and on about the immigrants, and it was a speech that I believe he gave it in front of a state police association or something, or I think it was the immigrant border, the border control people, but this is on 6606, talking about this and using it, you know, as... well, you know, the immigration's so bad, we're going to use this to control the immigrants. So they're doing everything but talking about the real issue, which is regular, everyday Americans who have freedoms and obey the law. Why do we have to do this? They're just backing it up with all these other reasons. Oh, it's for the kids. Oh, it's for the prisoners. Oh, it's for the immigrants. You know, it's for identity theft. And all these reasons seem like good reasons, but in the end, what does it do? In the end... if you don't agree with them, they now have the power to lock you out of the entire system. And then you look at that in conjunction with H.R. 1955, that act that's being passed, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Act. And you wonder, what are they doing? You know, and I personally don't trust them. They're not angels. They don't have a perfect heart, you know. They always take these powers and then they always push them out to the extreme and they always get abused. So I don't think it's crazy or conspiratorial or anything to sit here and look at all this and say, you know, this is not a good way for our, a good path for our country to go down or the world. And look, guys, as a message to the government, look, it says it right in the Bible and look what you're doing. And you expect us to be stupid and not look at the Bible and look what you're doing and say this doesn't match up? You know, we worship God. We have to listen to the Lord. You know, we want to listen to the Lord because he's our God. We look at the world and, you know, they're trying to build a kingdom here. You know, God said the world has fallen. There's something wrong with this. Why is it that God says we're abandoning this age, that this age is coming to an end, but men are steadily building it like this is all there is? You know? So let me get torqued down here a little bit. Anyway, you guys give a listen to this. This is George Bush in front of the border guards giving a speech on June 6th, 06, about the microchip and having a passport or an ID card with the chip in it.
An effective system for verifying work eligibility so the businesses can better comply with the law. And then we'll be in a position to say, if you don't comply with the law, you deserve to be punished. If we catch you cheating right now, you'll be punished. But we got to make it sure that small businesses and large businesses have got the capacity to verify whether a person's here legally or not. Congress needs to give federal agents the authority they need to enforce the law when job applicants submit fraudulent Social Security numbers. Congress needs to make it mandatory for employers to check information provided by job applicants against federal databases. Right now, that's voluntary. In other words, you get ready to hire somebody, you need to check against a federal database to make sure the numbers on the cards aren't forged or real. But what really Congress needs to do is to use a biometric technology to create a new tamper-proof identification card for every legal foreign worker. That's what we need. We need a tamper-proof card. It says, if you're here legally working, here's your card. And you got to show it. And the business owner has got to call for it. And if they hire somebody without their tamper-proof card, they're in violation of the law and will be fined. We've got to reduce the incentives for foreign workers to sneak across the border. That's what we agree on in Washington. If I were a Border Patrol agent, I'd be asking, what are you trying to do about the people trying to sneak in here to work? How come you don't have a temporary way for them to come work on the jobs Americans aren't doing? See, I believe that we need to understand that there are people coming across this border to put food on the table for their family, and they'll do anything to make it into America to do work. That's what you got to understand. A lot of people in Artesia, New Mexico know what I'm talking about. There are people coming to do work Americans aren't doing.
Americans aren't doing those jobs. Maybe it's because they don't pay enough. Maybe it's because the people are coming across the border and they are willing to work for less, that they're paying less so that these businesses can make more money because they're paying lower wages. They don't ever think about that. That if we didn't let the people come across the border, they wouldn't pay less, the pay rate would go up, and Americans would do these jobs. It's not that we won't do the jobs, we can't do it for the same pay rate that these guys are. Because they could go back down to Mexico, and these few dollars up here are worth a lot more down there. Oh, they don't ever mention these things. But anyway, that's, on June 6th, 06, 666, Bush announcing the biometric program. So we see all of this coming together. The microchip's on its way. It is a control mechanism. It does line up. You know, like I said, the key Z stigma is what was written as 666. I'm not sure that is that gematria was supposed to be used, but then again, I'm not a scholar. I just don't see it in the text, the intention to use gematria. It does say let him count the number of the beast, so maybe that was where they got that from. But one thing's for sure, Revelation 13:18 says, so that no man could buy or sell unless he had the number of his name or the number of the beast. Okay? And we know that this system is controlling the buying and the selling, and that you won't be able to do anything inside the system unless you have this microchip. So that does relate. So this is coming. And my question is are they going to implement this with some type of pledge of allegiance to the system? Because, see, it might not be a man antichrist. I think it probably will be, but it might not be. It may just be the system of man as the spirit of antichrist. You know, and then maybe the false prophet that comes is what we would think of as the antichrist. But that's neither here nor there. The simple fact is that, you know, we're not allowed to put anything into our bodies, okay? We don't want to put a monetary system inside of our temple. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? 1 Corinthians 6:19. So, you know, we would be putting silicon. It's interesting, Jesus said, don't build your house on sand, because when the storm comes, the fall of that house will be great. Build it on the rock. And is it interesting that our whole system's built on sand? Yes. For those of you that might not have thought about it, all these computer chips are made out of silicon. Silicon comes from sand. Okay? So we've built our whole system of where we keep all of our information, all the memory on things that we've done and things that we need to access, all of our transactions, everything that we do is built on sand. One EMP bomb and it's all blown out and we're back in the dark ages. Okay? So, you know, even that lines up with what Jesus said. But we're going to put a sand silicon chip into our bodies for buying and selling because it's that important to us, because we rely on man's system. We rely on man, that six man, the number of man. You know, this is something that we've got to think about. We've got to wake up. And I just want to bring this to your consciousness so you'll think about it. And you'll start saying, I literally am going to have to think about this. This is coming. And the now, the reality is when that comes, that now is no different than this now. When we get there and that day comes where they say, you know, everybody's got to transfer over to the system and receive a chip, that now is going to be no different than this now. So get your mind prepared. What are you going to do? We need to be on our knees and we need to be praying to God, because we're at a point where only God can make the changes that are necessary. And I'll be honest with you. All things are possible with God, but I am not sure that it is meant to be turned around. I think we are in those very last days. This system's going to be set up. There's going to be peace and safety. Everybody's going to think everything's fixed after this chaos comes with the market crash. And all this stuff happens, people are going to be begging for peace and to put it back together so they can have some normalcy to their lives. They're going to implement this world system. Everybody's going to think that there's finally peace and safety. Everything's under control under the Antichrist. And then sudden destruction comes upon them. Because God says when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. That's God's wrath. And that comes when there's peace and safety. And right now there's not peace and safety. So I'm thinking that all of this stuff that is going on right now is created by man, okay? All of these global market crashes and oppression through the oil prices going up and all of these wars, they're all being fomented by man and through Satan, you know, because they're trying to create that chaos that they can get this new world order to come out of. And it's a perversion of God's new world order. Because God says the old order of things were passed away, all things become new. You put that together, it's a new world order. And Satan is taking that term and polluting it. And it's not going to be God's 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's going to be the Antichrist. And people are going to fall into it because they're going to be so tired of all of the oppression and pain and suffering that they went through, that they're going to accept this new system and be so glad that everything's calming down and it's getting back to normal. And God says when there's peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. God comes home, Daddy comes home, turns a light on, and he doesn't even have to check. Everybody's marked. Whoever's his is not marked with the beast. Whoever belongs to the beast is marked by the beast. Okay? And this, you know, I just want to warn people. I, in my flesh, you know, I'm nothing. I'm not courageous in my flesh. I'm doing this because I know what God says and because I have to. I'm not looking forward to that moment where, you know, where I've got to, you know, that moment that comes in everybody's life where you got to be like, I'm not denouncing the Lord. I'm not looking forward to that moment. My spirit is because, you know, I want to show the Lord that I love him and I'm thankful for what he did for me by saving my life out of this system. My spirit for all of eternity. But I'm not looking forward to it. The Bible says, woe to those who look forward to the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? It's a day of darkness, of blackness, without a ray of light. These are tough times. And like a drill instructor, a good drill instructor, gets his people ready to go into battle. I'm trying to get people to wake up, prepare their minds and hearts, get on their knees, ask God to put in them the oil and the fire to keep their lamp burning through this dark time that's coming. Because when the hope of a nice day coming the next day and you being peaceful, when that goes away and it looks like you're trapped or you're imprisoned or they send you off to some camp or something, I don't know how it's going to go. I don't want to think these things about our government or anything. But I'm just matching up what they're doing and I'm trying to be faithful to God to announce it. So I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for everybody that listens. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will do a work in your heart, will wake you up, and will shock the callousness off of your hearts and make you realize it's now. This is the time. That we are so close to the Lord's return. We are going to face our God. And he's holy. And look what we've done. Look at the earth. Look how we've polluted it. Look how we've polluted our lives. Look at the stuff on the television with real eyes. Real eyes it. It's horrible. There's so much debauchery and people don't even care anymore. They just do whatever they want. Where's the holiness and the innocence? It's gone. And God is displeased and he's going to come back in anger. And we have no right to judge God and say, why are you so angry with us? Look at what we're doing. You just can't sense it or see it. It's horrible. But I'm going to be praying for you guys, and I pray that you would, that God would open your eyes and give you that motivation. That he would light that fire under your rear end, so to speak. So you could be motivated to repent from anything that you need to repent from, and that you would be reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God would do that supernatural work in your life to change you, to cut away that callousness of your heart, to circumcise you in heart so that you're sensitive to him again, and that he can speak to you and do that work of sanctification in your life. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And I ask that you guys would pray for me as always, that I would be bold and speak the things that are necessary, speak the truth, and I appreciate you guys listening. I'm sorry this podcast got so long. I'm tempted to break it up into two parts, but I'm going to let it fly because I know you guys can always just pause it and go back to it. I would ask that maybe if you want to let it sink in, I'm asking you guys to listen to these things once, at least twice, you know, if you can handle it, to let it sink in because there's a lot of information there. But I love all you guys in the Lord because I know that you're seeking the truth and that you love the Lord. And so God bless all you guys. I'm going to give you my contact information. You can, if you want to send me comments, email me. You can contact me at TruthStream, TruthStream, TruthStream at Podomatic.com, PODOMATIC, TruthStream at Podomatic.com. Send me an email. Let me know what you think, good, bad. Everything that you need to contact me is on my podcast site. It's truthstream.podomatic.com, truthstream.podomatic.com. You can go to that site, and on the right side of the page, it has a place where you can get my email address. It has our listener comment line that you can actually call in and leave me a message, or if you have something, a news story or a document that you know you want to fax to me, it has a fax line there. It's 206-350-0000. 206-0054, 206-350-0054. But everything's on the site and on the right side of the page. And pray that you guys will contact me and let me know what you think. God bless all you guys, and bless you real good and surround you and protect you in his care, and to build a wall of fire around you, to be that wall of fire to protect you. God says that his angels encamp around those that fear him, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear the Lord and shun evil. I'm going to let you guys go. I am your host, Amos Ridley, and I will see you on the other side.
To a strange town, going down the wrong road, like any story retold. We couldn't find a common ending. We'll wake on beyond, looking for our own way. We needed a distraction. You said you were a dead. A wrong turn. We couldn't know the things we'd gain when we reached the other border. We look out way down past the road we come from. We were looking at redemption. I was hidden in the landscape. Loss and love and fire and rain. Never would have come this way. Looking for.